Okay, Ron, thanks so much, and it's good to be here. And felt pretty good today after staying up real late last night watching the ball game. I should have went to bed because I kind of felt like it was gonna.
I thought the wood cutting wore you out good enough.
Well, I took a nap after I got home, but yeah, we got that done, and I took a little nap, so I was in pretty good shape. And so today I felt fairly well too. So thank the Lord for feeling a little better, but I think the warm weather had something to do with that too. So I'm getting older and can't recover from this cold weather as good as I used to, but no more duck hunting for me. I couldn't stand it now. But I might get out there and fish a little bit after the sun gets set. Okay, last time, we're back in Acts 21 again, and we're getting toward the end of the book of Acts. But last time, Paul was going down, the ocean road, like you would go from Tyre down to Gaza in the Holy Land. And he met some people on the road, and they told him, asked him where he was going. He said he was going to Jerusalem. And they tried to talk him out of it, and they couldn't talk him out of it. Well, he went on down, and he got close to Jerusalem, and he met this old man, and they were sitting around, and Paul had his girdle there and some of his stuff that he had was rolling down the road, because we talked a little bit about their stuff that when they change ships, they'd have to, you know, take all this stuff off. And it was a problem for them to do that because, you know, they didn't have really real good ways to do things like they have now. And this old man was there. And he looked at Paul's girdle, and evidently they had not talked about whose stuff was whose. And he picked up the girdle and looked at it, and he sat there and he tied his feet together, and he tied his hands together. But evidently he had asked, you know, where they were headed, and they said they were headed to Jerusalem. He said, okay, the man that owns this girl, if he goes to Jerusalem, said he's going to be tied hand and foot.
Same thing. Gonna...
Same way. Yeah. And so Paul spoke up, and, you know, I guess and told him it was him. He said, well, don't go. So there was two warnings there on their way to Jerusalem. And so even that didn't persuade Paul not to go, because Paul says, well, I've got to take this vow.
He also said, I'm set to die.
But
I'm going.
But he said, even if they kill me, I'm going to go. Well, they liked the deal. But I won't get ahead of the story, but because he had taken a vow, which in the Greek, the word vow is the word ouchi. And the way it's pronounced. And so he was going to go there and finish his vow. For one thing, that was the main reason he was in a hurry to do that, and I reckon he was waiting on the Holy Spirit to lead him with the rest of it. And so we get down now to We're going to start with verse 25, where we left off last time, because Paul had met James, who wrote the book of James in Scripture. And so when James found out that Paul had taken the vow in Caesarea and had not completed that vow, and so when Paul got into Jerusalem, people started stirring up trouble, which they always do. Anyway, that's nothing new. But so James told Paul, says, you know, take a vow with these four men and show them that, you know, you walk in the orderly. Or he walked according to the religious observances. Or that's what James wanted him to do. Now, whether Paul did or not, that's another question. But this is where we're going to pick up with our study tonight. In verse 25 of Acts 21. And I'm just going to read Acts 21. Well, let's see, I'm not on the right page. 21:25. Verse 25 says, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded, now this is James talking, that they observe no such things save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. That was the four things that James and them got together and agreed, and that group agreed that they would write letters that they could give out to people wherever Paul went to, that this was what they were doing, because Paul was going, basically, he was going to the Gentiles more so than the Jews. But now, when Paul got on that road going down, he didn't go into the synagogue anymore first. He kind of set that aside, and he was just going to the Gentiles and to the brethren that would listen to him or come to him and meet him. Okay. So that was 25 there and he says, as teaching, and the Greek there for teaching is stoichio. He said, to walk according to religion's observances, the Gentiles which believed, have written or wrote and concluded that they observe no such things save or except only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. So this is how we got down to where we were last week. This was the first verse that we didn't cover with the last verse last week, because it was verse 24. James also said, Paul, you're responsible for the expenses of these people and yourself. Somebody had to pay the charge or fee. There was a fee that went along with that. But now, Paul had taken this vow about 2 years before. And so he done growed back out. His head, hair, and his beard probably had done growed back out. So that he had not completed the vow according to the law. Okay? Then we get to verse 26. Verse 26, we'll read it out of the King James. It says, "Then Paul took the man, and the next day, purifying himself, then entered into the temple to signify the accomplishments of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them." Okay? And it sounds like that when Paul got there with the rest of them, they may have been waiting on somebody else to pay the penalty for the thing. Or they all probably used the same sacrifice if they were sacrificing to you. Because, you know, they could lay hands on, you know, several could, or a family could lay their hands on just one animal and, you know, and it'd be worthy of what they needed to do. So I'll read you my notes in 26. It said, "Then Paul took the men, and the next day," and the word "next" there in the Greek is ekomai, echo, E-C-H-O, ekomai. And they, the next, ekomai, I can't say that without reading it, purifying himself with them, or with those four people, he entered, and the word "entered" there in the Greek is aesimai, into the temple. And the word for temple there in the Greek is hieron, to signify or to declare. And you break that down into the Greek is diangelo, the accomplishments, and the accomplishments there in the Greek is espirages, of the days of purification, until that an offering of the days of purification, until an offering. And that Greek word is prosephero, should be offered for every one of them. And this is a 7-day deal here. So after Paul had cleaned himself up and done what it took to make that purification for that work for them, we get to verse 27, and this is where we get the 7 days for that. "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia," okay, now the Jews that had been in Asia when Paul was in Ephesus and around in that area, okay? The Jews which were of Asia. So evidently these people moved around a good bit. "When they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." So, they knew Paul had been in Asia, and he is back from Asia, and he landed at Tyre, and he came down the road, and he got down to as far as where you turn to go to Jerusalem, and, you know, and while he was there for the 7 days, they saw him, and they had come too, evidently. Maybe they were looking for him. I don't know, but, you know, he kind of snuck out of Ephesus when he was there, because he stopped at a place and had his men to go back into Ephesus and get the people that were going to had been listening to Paul and being with him there while he was in Ephesus. And they brought them to Paul. And he was going, and they was unloading the ship. And he was going to get back in the same ship and come on down to Tyre. And that's on the coast of the Mediterranean. Okay, then he had to wait 7 days till he went. So then when he went, he sailed, and it took about 6 days for him to get down to Tyre. Well, he got out from Tyre, and evidently they walked, and it was another 60 miles on down to where they was going to. So that took a few days to do that, too. So he got down there, and that's what he found, and they found the four other guys going to take the vow, too. And so we get down to 27. Verse 27 says this, "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple," because they were there, he was there, "stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." Evidently, they caught him up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what the old man told him that was going to happen. He said, "The man's got the girdle. The man that owns this girdle, he's going to get tied up, and find bad things are going to happen to him." Okay. The 27 said the 7 days were almost or about to be centelio or ended. Ended is centelio. "The Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him," Paul, "in the temple, and having seen him, stirred up or excited all the people," or the crowd, "osios" is the word for crowd in the Greek, "and laid hands on him." So they weren't going to miss a beat with dealing with Paul, and evidently these other people had been advised by the Spirit of God that, yeah, if you go there, you're going to have a problem. Paul said, "That's all right.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to die.
Yeah,
I have to." So verse 28. So you see, Paul doesn't get any rest. When Paul had been called on the Damascus Road, and after he got where he could see again, and he left Damascus and went into Arabia for a little while, and he came back, and the people in Damascus didn't know that he had changed his way of doing things. And so he came back in. There wasn't but two ways to get into Damascus. And the road that went, or the street that went through the middle of Damascus was called the Strait. Two ways. One way, you know, in and out. And they watched the gate all the time.
Yep.
And so verse 28 says this. Let me read it. Crying out. They laid their hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help." Full stop. So they felt like they might not be able to overcome Paul's little group. So they hollered out for help. And this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Full stop again. The people, the law, and the temple. They said that's what Paul's preaching against. Okay. And and he said, "And hath polluted this holy place." Talking about the temple.
Then he said, "Further brought Greeks also into the temple."
Yeah. Well, that was
That's the one we were talking about the other day.
Yeah, but now, that goes all the way back to the 14th chapter, whenever they stoned Paul. Because the reason they stoned him in Derby is somebody made the accusation that he had carried might have been Timothy.
One of the Gentiles.
Gentiles that carried him into the... that's what they said. That's what they accused him of when they stoned him. Okay. Crying out, my notes, men of Israel, help. Help. Full stop. This man, this woman, this fellow, this anthropos that teaches all men everywhere against, and that word against there in the Greek is the word kata. You'll see that in Appendix 104:10. Against the people in the grand, against the people there is the word laos. And the law, and this place, full stop again. Oh, this was something they really wanted to get brought out or brought forth. These three things, which includes the temple and further brought Greeks, and further more, brought Greeks into the temple. And the word Greeks there is the Hellenes, and hath polluted the holy place. So, whether they knew about the Derby thing, and whether they knew about the stoning or not, it was known to them that that's what they did before. And, well, let's just go back over to Acts 14 for just a minute. We'll look at Acts 14:19. Anyway, because it's good to, when you're going through this thing, it's good to understand. I'm going to start with 17. 16 said, who in times past suffered all nations to walk their own way? Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with that saying, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And certainly he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he parted with Barnabas to Derbe. He went back. He went back the way he come in there. But he went back to show them that he was alive. Okay. So, guess what? So I guess those people that were following them used that same situation to get these people stirred up here in verse 28. That he had brought the Greeks into the temple. Okay. And polluted it. Verse 29. For they had seen before him, with him, in the city, Prometheus, an Ephesian, who they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple.
So it was Trophimus. Yeah.
Trophimus. Okay, yeah. And that little verse of scripture is a parenthetical insertion.
Yeah.
you can see the parentheses before the first part of the verse and at the end of that verse. So,
well, that takes care of the accusation. That lets you know in the scripture that their accusation was false.
Yeah. But absolutely.
They supposed that Paul did it, but they didn't.
Yeah, well.
They couldn't prove it.
Well, now, you know, if they saw this or took place in that stoning, then that would have made them more zealous to do something else to Paul anyway at that time. And so this was the situation. Verse 29. For they had seen before. That it was seen that Paul had in the city with him Trophimus, and they came to the conclusion that when they saw Paul in the temple, that Trophimus must have been there too, must have been with him also.
Yeah.
So he may have still been in Paul's entourage at that time, probably was. And they seen Paul, and that might have seen him somewhere else. Oh, Paul's here.
We know from this crowd that what they know and what they add to it makes a pretty good story.
Yeah, you
know?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be the truth.
But anyway, they supposed Paul had brought him into the temple, and but it said the supposed concluded in the notes. And it said, and all, and talking about that, and all, and I said, read and understand Acts 14, 19. So we went a little further than that with it. But I wanted you to realize that this was not new, but it still, I don't know if them people were there looking for Paul, and when they missed him, they got out and got to looking for him, and they thought, well, he's going to go back to Jerusalem, because they knew while he was in Ephesus, he had had a vow. Well, where are you going to get a, you got to go to the high priest to get your vow taken care of, because they all had to go before the high priest. Okay, so here again, they said, well, if he had this man with him over there, if they believed that, then they could use the same situation again to get him. Okay. So the city was moved. The whole city, it says in the notes, and the people, the Laos, ran together, full stop. Like, you know, they were just stirring up everybody that they would listen to them. It said, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, full stop. And it says, and forthwith the doors were shut. So they locked the temple down.
Amazing, the herd mentality of people a lot of times, isn't it?
Yeah, and I never in my longest days ever considered if somebody came and wanted to join into a service that they should. We know from the Charleston event that might be a little dangerous too. But the doors were shut because the women were in a different part of the building. Okay, we haven't heard the rest of the story yet. So let's look at verse 31. So verse 30, let's look at verse 30. I just did that. Verse 31. And as they went about to kill him, now they were going to kill him again. It doesn't say how. They were about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So, evidently, this chief captain was there, and he had at his disposal soldiers and centurions, and they were 1,000. It was like there was a garrison there. Okay? So, as they went about or were seeking to kill him, Paul, tidings, or a report, which is the word Pharisees, came unto the chief captain. They called the chief captain there, which is the over 1,000 men. And sometimes in places it's only 100, but here it was 1,000. So I got wondering about that, and I finally found out in reading the notes how that came about. So, and the chief captain is called Chiliarchos of the band, and the word for band is spear, and we call it in the English, we call it cohorts, which was his band, which was soldiers under one man, that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Now, the doors mentioned in verse 30, which we had just read, were the gates leading into the court of the women. And I had never read that about the temple. But I do know, and I wasn't really certain as to all of the layout of the temple, but I had not seen that before. Okay. Shut by the Levitical doorkeepers. So, in the temple, you only did what you were supposed to do. And these people had jobs to do that were there. And it says the Levitical doorkeepers to prevent profanation by murder. They didn't want the women to see the murder take place. So they locked them in the building, and they weren't going to kill Paul inside the temple. They were going to have to take him out. Generally take him out of the city. Or I don't think the temple was built right in the city of Jerusalem, but it was close. So he said the chief captain, who was over 1,000 men, so it explained in the notes that this chief captain was over 1,000 men, which give you a pretty good idea. Well, they must have had a problem here off and on quite a bit. So,
well, and it was a place where a lot of people congregated too, quite often.
Yeah.
So they had to have law and order there, and what the Romans did to keep it, they just threw people at it.
Yeah, so they just kept the garrison
of
people there. Verse 32 says, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them, full stop. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. Or they quit beating Paul.
They were roughing him up when they got there.
Yeah. But they had already roughed him up. Who immediately, the chief captain with 1,000 men, who immediately took soldiers And the Greek for a soldier is exaltes, from the garrison in Antonia, which evidently was close there, and centurions. And the centurion is the long Greek word is hekatontaronosis, and ran down unto them full stop. So they had soldiers and centurions that were of the Roman Empire, and they ran down to where everything was happening. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, so they must have already removed him from the temple. They left the beating of Paul, or literally ceased the beating of Paul at that point. Now, so it wasn't going to be done in the temple, and it probably wasn't going to be done in Jerusalem either, because they always took them outside of the city to do that. So probably more stones could be found outside than inside anyway. But we get down to verse 33. Verse 33 said, Then the captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he has done. And to what he had done, because the chief captain didn't know how all this got started. So he wanted to know that, because evidently he was going to have to make up something for the Roman hierarchy from Felix or whoever was then in control in those areas, that he had to come to somebody with some answer.
Do you think the chief captain fulfilled Agabus's prophecy? Says it bound him with two chains, probably one on his hands.
No, it tells you in the notes that is. I'm going to read it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Then the chief captain, with that long word that starts with Chile, came near, and having drawn near and took Paul and commanded him to be bound with two chains, i.e., either hand chained to a soldier, and demanded who he was and to what he had done. So he got one soldier chained one of Paul's arms, the other soldier chained and got the other one of Paul's. So they had Paul between the two soldiers, at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Greek word for that is panhandmei. So we get to verse 34. Verse 34 says this, and some cried one thing, and some another among the multitude, full stop. And when he could not know, talking about the chief captain, the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. So evidently there was a castle nearby. And it said, and some cried or were crying out one thing. And in the Greek, that was boeo. And some another say, these that have turned the world upside down and are come hither, here also among the multitude, full stop. And when the chief captain could not know the certainty or the sure thing, or in the Greek is as fails, and that equals say for sure thing, for the uproar or the tumult, he, the chief captain, commanded him, Paul, to be carried into the castle. And in the castle, there in the Greek, there's periambole.
They had to get where they could hear what makes sense out of it.
Yeah, he had to get
chaos.
He had to get away from the chaos and find out for sure for himself what was going to happen. I mean, what had happened. And we get to verse 35. We're doing pretty good. And when he had come upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. So the soldiers that he was chained to, and probably others being around or under him, they carried him up the stairs.
He didn't have to walk up them steps.
No, he got to ride up the elevator.
Yep.
And said he was born, B-O-R-N-E. Yeah, that was carried or.
Yep.
Okay. 35. And when he, Paul, came upon, and that word is epi, the stairs, and stairs there is anabathymos, so it was that he was born or lifted upon, and that word in the Greek is bastizio, by or of the soldiers for the violence of the people. So the people still wanted to get him. And then we get to verse 36. It says, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. And that's pretty self-understandable there. And verse 37 says, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? So he asked for his permission to be able to speak for himself. You know Paul. He always wanted to give his own.
Yeah.
If he was going to have a eulogy, he wanted to do it himself.
Yep.
Okay. And he said, may I speak to thee? And the chief captain said, canst thou speak Greek?
Yep.
See, he was speaking Roman. He wouldn't, you know. And so that kind of perplexed him a little bit. And there's a reason why there. And so it says, and as Paul was about to be led or brought into the castle, he said unto the chief priest, may I speak if it is permitted me to say something unto thee? Because Paul didn't know he really had the right to speak to this man over 1,000 people. Who said unto Paul, canst thou speak Greek? The word Greek there is, again, is the word Hellenistic. Can you speak Hellenistic? Verse 38 says, art not that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? Oh, he thought he had you know, somebody.
Now we know why they were asking him, well, can you speak Greek? And he said, I got the wrong guy.
Yeah, but see, the thing of it was, they had this big problem with 4,000 people.
Yeah.
And the chief captain only had 1,000 in his group, see, yeah. So. He's beginning to realize, well, I may have the wrong gentleman here. So, let me read that. I'm running out of time. He said, art not thou, the Egyptian, which before these days makest an uproar, stirreth up to sedition and leadest out into the wilderness? 4,000 men and were murderers? Okay, so let me read you the note here off of verse 38. Okay. And this is Ali Sakari. Or assassins. Only here it says, the Sicari, a Latin word from sacca, meaning a curved dagger, were bandits who infested Judea in the time of Felix, who sent troops against them through Josephus, said it was at the instigation of Felix that they murdered the high priest Jonathan. The Egyptian referred to was a false prophet who led a number of the Sicarii to Jerusalem declaring that the wall would fall down before them. So, now we kind of got the rest of the story. So there was somebody there that had been there before, maybe recently, and the chief captain couldn't tell if he had the right guy or not. Okay. So I got just another minute or two. I can get it in. I didn't know where I could get it all in or not. Now. But Paul said, verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Okay, and then we'll look at verse 40. And when the chief captain had given Paul license, or same as to the word suffer, and that was in verse 39, and stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, so the people that were there, also, they all wanted to hear what was going to be said, so they all got quiet. And it says, he, Paul, spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying.
So we already know he's bilingual.
Yeah. So we know he can speak Greek.
Hebrew.
He can speak Hebrew. And, and so that was pretty much the story here. But it goes on. And so Paul is going to explain to them enough to where he'd get away from them. But my time is up, and it worked out just about exactly right.
That's a cliffhanger there.
But here we are. He's still on the stairs. He's still with the chief captain. But now they're listening to him, and not not these guys that come along and said, oh, I know, I've seen him before. He was in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And he carried these people in.
What's false accusation?
Yeah. And so they constructed a pretty good, story for the chief captain, but the chief captain, pretty smart dude, might have a little bit of something to do with the Holy Spirit, too.
Yeah.
So the chief captain might have got a little Holy Spirit there that he might not have known that he got.
Well, Lord uses...
strange things.
Lord uses non-holy things a lot of times to bring about his will,
yeah.
Like he did Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, so, yeah.
So, that will conclude chapter 21. We'll pick up chapter 22 next time, Lord willing, you know, here we are to do his will as long as we're around, hopefully, and that we'll try to go on with this because I would really like to get to the end of Acts 28 if I could. But, you know, here we got about 9 years left with Paul's dealings and the rest of this book of Acts and Luke. Of course, Luke was now writing it because you could see some of the things that Luke would enter into it as being a doctor and pretty well, he had pretty well been, educated too. Luke had been. So we can pick it up with that and go on again next time. So thank you for, being with me through that because I'd got to a point where I thought maybe I could finish that tonight. So we went a little fast at times, but we got there. So thank you for saying, and think about all this, and think about what all that turmoil they were going through, and all the stuff that they had to contend with all these times. And sometimes we think, well, you know, it's pretty tough to get out there and do the work for the Lord, but Lord, what these people had to go through with.
Amen.
Thank you so much.